Welcome back to Lays with Gumption, episode 203, Red Team. I am May, and I am here with
Tatiana
and Jessica.
We recap DCTV in a flash. You can always find us over on Twitter at DCTVGumption. Email us all your thoughts to ladieswgumption@gmail.com or send us asks to ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. You can find all of our existing episodes on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, we are likely there. If we are not, though, let us know. We will fix that. If you do not have a Patreon or do not follow us on Patreon, we are at patreon.com/DCTVGumption. Highly encourage you to sign up if you're interested in listening to us talk about anything related to the MCU, HBO Max premium shows, including Doom Patrol, Netflix series like You, and we've done Shadow and Bone, we've done Bridgerton, we've done other Squid Game, other things. So lots to listen to there. So you can subscribe to us for $10 a month. I know that is a little bit pricey, but you don't have to remain there for like forever. So if there's something you do want to listen to and you want to sign up for like 1 or 2 months, beautiful. To our current patrons, thank you so much for continuing to support us. It really helps us continue on with this podcast, and we are always grateful for your support. Over in the news, we have the last day of filming for Candace Patton on The Flash. Very sad time.
Personally, I guess the whole cast.
Yes, I think they wrap tomorrow or something like that. Yeah. And Brandon took over the Flash account's Instagram, and he posted a lot of fun pictures with like everybody who's actually feeding us, which is very nice. And he should take over more often. I think he promised a Twitch stream with Candace and Grant, so we'll actually see how that goes if that actually happens. But it's, yeah, last days of filming.
It's so crazy because when, like, we've been praying on the show's downfall ever since it got bad for a while. But like when we heard the news, like the actual final day is, you know, tomorrow or whatever. It's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, like it's just so many conflicted feelings, so you know, like there's just, it's been a lot of shit the last few years, but it's also like a show that's brought so many people together. Like us, we wouldn't exist, this podcast wouldn't exist without The Flash either. So I feel like there's just, yeah, a lot of feelings to get through. But you know, we also have to revisit these feelings when the show actually ends, like the series finale airs or whatever. And I think that is it for in terms of news. I don't think there was anything else. But we do have feedback from last week that we did not get to say on the podcast. So we'll discuss Piper and Vivian's feedback from last week before we get into the main part of the episode. So last week, Piper says, not as campy as I expected, thank goodness. Hartley needs to stay. He's smart, sarcastic, and challenges Barry. He's a little Harry-like. Barry needs someone like that in Star Labs. Who else did people think Red Death was going to be? Ryan is the obvious choice. We never had a Bruce Wayne. Best line. Dude, even I figured it out. Barry Allen is the Flash. They have the same jitters order. Still don't care about Chilegra. Joe was missed. I don't know why they had him retire instead of promoting him or having him become a PI. That is a good point, Piper. Because now he's just chilling at home, taking care of Jenna, who is finally
looking stressed all the time.
And looking stressed all the time. Poor man. And then we have feedback from Vivian. Here it goes. What is with these dime store knockoff rogues? With the exception of Hartley, none of them were needed. Until it was written that each of their specific meta abilities were required for Barry to get the thingamajig. How does Mark return to being a part of the team after he has betrayed them for the umpteenth time? God, I can't talk today. Sorry. For the umpteenth time within joining them 2 weeks ago. Who the hell did Danielle Baker piss off in the wardrobe department?
If Cecile is herself out,
she'll figure out her style eventually. If Cecile is so concerned about her marriage and doing the greater good for Central City, why and how does she think she is going to do anything from hanging out at Star Labs with the youngsters? Neat that they had a death meta. I think this is the first time on the show. Was there no better way for them to introduce Red Death than through these characters in the storyline? than the good in the episode. Iris speaking French and the cute West Allen scene. Iris finally getting to share an emotional concern with Barry without interruption and him being supportive. Three episodes in a row that has actually focused on the leads of the damn show. As usual, Iris's badass outfits. Girl can rock anything. Personally, glad she restyled her hair. I'm not a fan of the middle part, but she's gorgeous no matter how she wears her hair. Barry, again, being a supportive husband and constant nerd in Paris. Doggy bag ask and facial expression. Letting Barry and Iris talk amongst themselves before immediately running to and including the team. The bad in the episode. Cecile, always Cecile. The rogues, there's a whole ass Arrowverse to choose villains and rogues from. And Eric, just because he is Eric. I'm sure there are many more, but I will wait until next week. And yes, she has sent feedback for this week as well. And leading us into that, Jessica will lead us through episode 4, Red Death Part 1, on the journey towards Red Death. I have nothing else. Red Go Death. Ahead, Jessica.
Well, if you didn't like Cecile last week, wait until this week. So first we start out, Mark is building this cosmic treadmill. He's getting a little bit sassy with Red Death, and Red Death is like, I'm not having that from you at all. So, like, tighten up. But the treadmill needs like a huge power source, and Red Death has an idea of how she's going to get that, and it requires a little help from another criminal that she busts out of jail. Meanwhile, West Allen is having a powwow at the loft over the identity of this new speedster. He's possibly the negative avatar, Speed Force avatar. So they're concerned about that, and Iris is also worried about Ryan because Luke Fox sent her the last known coordinates that he had for Ryan, and she has been missing, and now the Red Death is using Wayne Tech, so not good times for Ryan. Red Death, meanwhile, with the help of Bibolo, which is who she broke out of Iron Heights, aka Rainbow Raider, lures the Flash out, and Bibolo like whammies the Flash, so he's incapacitated, and they kidnap him, and to make a cherry on top of this Sunday pie, she shuts down the entire city, shuts down the power grid. So in the dark about Barry's, in the dark literally, and then in the dark about Barry's whereabouts or how to help him, the remaining members of Team Flash, which include Chester, Allegra, and Keone, are forced to contact the Flash's rogues, Pied Piper, Goldface, and Hot Stuff for help. Josiel finally spent time with their adult child, practically. She's like 5 now. Jenna, main character, obviously, of the show, is called the Jenna, if you didn't know. As they continue to discuss how Cecile could possibly be an empath, but not realize that Jill wants to move because he doesn't want Jenna in this ghetto-ass city that has power outages every other week because the metavillain is on a power trip. Obviously, he wants to move. This is not a safe place. Back in the villain lair, the rogues, they want to expose Flash, but Mark kind of comes to his rescue. He's kind of maybe regretting his life choices and joining villains. Barry is a little bit confused while Mark is still with them. He's like, you can change, you can be good, you deserve a second chance. But the Red Death needs Mark to finish building the treadmill, and she's not going to let him go until he does. So while he's doing that, and the rogues are guarding the doors, Red Death, her suit actually, because she's not actually there, taunts Barry about how much she hates him and plans to use him and take his lightning rod, Iris. While the actual Red Death Ryan pays a visit to Iris, who is alone in the West Allen loft, and this Ryan is pretending to be our Ryan, Earth Prime, missing Ryan. Iris, however, quickly catches on that Ryan is not who she says she is, and forces her to reveal that she's from a different timeline, where on her Earth, there was no Bruce Wayne, which I don't think she said Bruce's name, but I feel like the fact that she said there was no Batman and I was adopted by the Waynes, it was like, Bruce is Batman. I was like, did she know Bruce is Batman? Because now she does. Now Iris knows Bruce is Batman. Okay. Ryan was adopted by the Waynes, and she used, when they died, she used her wealth to kind of get vengeance on all the criminals in Gotham. She created tech that mimicked the powers of her enemies, and eventually she mimicked the tech also of her allies, including the Flash. So she created her own suit based off of Flash's suit data and her own, built in her own artificial speed force. So she really just wants to predict the crime and put criminals away before they can even think about having a criminal thought. Flash is not happy about that. Wound up having to gather his own group of rogues to stop her, resulting in its all-out war. And the reason that Ryan needs Iris's help is because she wants to take Iris to her timeline to convince that Flash to stop the madness. And the reason that she needs this Iris's help is because the Iris in her timeline is dead. Because Ryan accidentally, and I use accidentally in air quotes because I'm not sure how accidentally it was, but that Ryan accidentally killed her on her world. So Iris kind of like unravels Ryan's sob story, doesn't really believe everything. So Red Death's like, the jig is up. She puts on her suit and she takes Iris by force and brings her to Barry and is like, you need to run or else. I mean, I don't need her in one piece. I just need her. So do what you got to do. So Barry decides to run, but Mark has like a change of heart. And so at the last minute, he overloads the cosmic treadmill, which overloads Ryan's suit and causes her to like, you know, faint or she's down for the count. When Barry gets, they have to take Barry out of Medicuff so he can run. So when his powers come back on, then the rogues can use Hartley's signal tracers to find them. Allegra is somehow like a teleporter now. I feel like I missed that part of her power.
Is she used to use something like a teleporter that they had before, right?
I feel like it was her powers. I feel like that was like a, guess what I can do? I don't know. Whatever. Because they can't leave without her. But she gets them to where Barry is. And there's an all-out fight going on with the rogues versus rogues. Red Death is about to come to you again. So Hartley makes the executive decision in Goldface to take Barry, who they came for, and run, even though all the other rogues are ganging up on Mark, who has now once again betrayed another team, and they leave him for dead. So basically, the whole team now thinks Mark has died. And that is the one time that Chester, well, Allegra's like, you know what? A person has died, and now I'm reevaluating my feelings for you. Do you think this is the right time? And he's like, no, it's not the right time. So they put it on the back burner again. Also, back at Joe Sill's house, when the power goes out, she has to go out and save people because, you know, that's apparently who she is now. And Jenna's like, my mommy's a superhero. And Joe's like, you know what? Okay, I guess we can stay. And that's where they ended on that. That's what happened on The Flash. Oh, yeah. And when Barry and Iris escaped, now Brian is not happy. And she has, you thought she lost it before. She is definitely lost it now. She is upset and out for vengeance. This episode was directed by Minhaj Huda and written by Joshua Gilbert and Emily Polizzi. So, what sparked joy?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that we got to see baby Jenna, now not even toddler Jenna, young child Jenna. So I feel like we haven't seen her in years, maybe since she was a bundle of joy. And now she's a grown child of joy. And that is wonderful. It's nice to see like Joe actually having a dynamic with her of some kind that you can parse something out. He's actually a good dad, probably. And I'm glad that the storyline resulted in him deciding that they can stay. Although now I'm like, were you writing that he was going to go because it wasn't the final season? And then you found out it was. So you're like, actually, he's staying because it's the final season. I don't know. But either way, it worked out. I did think it was cute that Jenna drew a little picture of her mom and like whatever. So that was fine. Love that it is actually Orion Wilder from another Earth. Thank baby Jesus. I was very concerned it was going to be Orion. Although I do think that clearly it is very, very, very bad luck put on the bat suit in this world, because that's the third bat person who has disappeared now. Bruce has disappeared forever. Kate disappeared for like 1.5 years and then changed actresses. And now I'm like, can we get Ryan back? Where is she? So either way, love the scene with Iris. It definitely felt, you know, I was like, are you sure Iris was just your friend? I don't know. It sounded like it was a love triangle with the Flash and Iris and Ryan, which I would be down with. So anyway, love that Iris figured it out and that she figured it out because Ryan hasn't been to her house yet. Like, okay. Yeah, I think that they once again have been doing a good job of telling parallel stories or different parts of the same story with Barry and Iris, making Iris an active part of the narrative without having, you know, quote unquote, her take over or having to have her do something totally separate. Which again makes the question why they couldn't do this in previous seasons. But whatever, at least they finally got together for the final season. Thank props to Chester for realizing that sometimes when a cold, fun character dies, you should take a beat and not try to move into the next phase of your relationship. So I like that he got to shut a lover down for once, even though he was still like, don't worry, we're going to circle back. I'm definitely into your proposal. So whatever. But yes, glad they didn't spend too much time on that.
It's like, how many people have to die before you get together?
Exactly. They're not going to rest until all the Caitlins are gone. Also, am I crazy? Or did Barry call Keon Caitlin at some point? Or
he did. My subtitles actually said Caitlin.
Okay. Yeah. I know that you caught that. I was like, I was not paying attention to him.
Yes. Definitely said, I don't know if it's like Grant forgot or like that was actually the writing. I'm not sure, but it was very
I'm pretty confusing. Sure he like, must have forgotten. He must have forgotten because nobody reacted. And that means that the director also forgot. He didn't tell us to do the takeover again. Which I love. That's a plus. That right there, that's a joy. That brought me great joy. Anyway, overall, really good episode. Love that the rogues came back in to help. I did like that Mark had a change of heart. Like, thank God he was worthwhile for like 3 seconds. And if that was his great sacrifice and he's dead now, even more joy. I'm sure he's not. He's like, you know what?
Yeah.
For right now, it's joy. So there you go. I'm very happy with the episode.
So you feel like you feel the opposite of Allegra, not sadness, but like, oh, Chilblain's gone. Like, it's totally fine.
I mean, if I was Allegra, I would have been like, you know what? This taught me to appreciate the small joys in life. You know? He's dead. Let's get it on.
Oh, indeed. I have to Allegra. I mean, I'll save that for later. But I think that it was an overall really strong episode. I was riveted. I was engaged. I was like sitting there staring at my TV and like, oh, this is actually really interesting. Like the revelation of Ryan not being Ryan. Because at first it was confusing. She went over to see Iris and she's still Barry. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So it was nice to like learn more about who she is, where she comes from, why she's doing the things that she's doing, and also like, you know, have to hand it to Other Earth Ryan being a attempted solid actress at like, you know, showing up acting like our Ryan and thinking that she was gonna get away with it. But I really like the fact that she didn't just like kidnap Iris. She was actually like there to earn her trust and be like, look, you need to talk your man down because he's after me. But I also like the fact that Iris figured her out relatively quickly because, like, they don't know each other like that on this earth. And it would be, like, all her journalistic alarms were up as a reporter. She's like, how did you get here so fast? You know, we just talked to Luke and everything. And it was just, like, a really slow burn intensity until it got to, like, the big reveal. And I actually liked the twist because I didn't think it was going to be anything, like, good per se, but just that Red Death's here. So I really like the way that they weaved it in to make it look like Flash actually had turned against her, but maybe like Ryan really enjoyed the power that she had and wanted more of it, and that's why they, you know, got into a fight basically. So all of that was really great. The build up, the chemistry between Javicia and Candace is really, really good. I would have just watched a whole other 40 minutes with them just going back and forth with each other. And like Barry being stuck in her new Batcave, as it were, just not being able to do anything, but also worried for Iris. And I like the fact that like they were both part of the same story until they got back together at the end to try to stop. Like the fact that Ryan knew that she could use Iris against the Flash and vice versa was really smart of her, because that's a very obvious thing, and also nice to have confirmation that Iris is Barry's lightning rod on every earth. So yeah, just general joy for an episode that was overall well written, and just had like reasons for why like Barry couldn't run or Iris couldn't call for help because of the electricity going off and everything. So it was just superb, and I would have like again watched more of Iris and Ryan going head to head with each other. And it was just like the scene, I want to call this one out because it was really hot. The scene of Javicia's suit or Ryan's suit, like, coming to her. Oh my God, that was amazing. Great, actually, effects.
And her, like, putting up her hair and, like,
yeah, it's like, she's like, I'm so fed up. Like,
yeah, I forgot to say that was actually super awesome. Yes, I agree.
Yes. It was great, and I feel like she's really good at playing evil, and it's just great to watch. Like even like her little expression when Barry's like, "I won't let her hurt you," and she's like, "Please, like, oh, it's just LVW. I'm so over it," you know. It was so good. Oh, it was just amazing, and I feel like by the end when she really lost it, I'm like, I can't wait for next week. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There was so much really good tension between, like, Red Death Ryan and Iris. I'll even back up a little bit to the beginning of the, well, close to the beginning of the episode with Barry and Iris in their loft and, like, going over what they had learned so far. And I really like that because it's, again, it's like domesticity. Because usually, like, these seem to be, like, in Star Labs and a group effort, like, a group project. And, this feels more realistic because, like, at the end of the day, you'll have to go home sometime. And so, like, him just kind of, like, still kind of, like, working back at home and, like, bouncing stuff off of Iris and then using her journalism and her contacts to kind of go through, what they have in this case, I thought was really, really nice. But yeah, like the whole thing where Ryan first initially shows up and Iris is like, okay, when she opens the door because she says her name is like Ryan Wilder and I heard you were like looking for me. But everything slowly kind of like unraveling and like Iris being like getting more and more suspicious was such a good scene. I was so confused too, like, okay, she's here. And the next scene, like right as it's talking to Barry, I'm like, how? How are you doing this? So the fact that, you know, when they did the reveal with the suit being empty was like really, really cool. I liked that Iris, she kind of like caught it. Because I too was looking at Ryan in this situation and Ryan like walking over to the refrigerator and pulling out creamer for herself. I'm like, girl.
She's like, do you live here? What do you?
So I'm glad that Iris specifically like called that out. Like, Ryan has never been to my home and you're walking around like you own this. Because I definitely was feeling the same way. Like, Ryan, what are you doing? And I agree. The story was semi-believable. That she was telling. And it's really interesting because, you know, when she says that her backstory that she was adopted by the Waynes and not, they didn't have Bruce, they had her. And I feel like this version of Ryan is more Bruce-like in a sense that she is very like, so there's like a lot of things just pre-planned and she kind of like thinks through like 5 or 6 steps ahead. And everything, like, where our Ryan, because she had, like, a bit of a different lifestyle, I feel like she's, like, much more street smarts, where this Ryan is very methodical. And I also think, like, in her story, like, when she was saying how she would use the tech of her enemies and, you know, eventually, like, well, also my allies, it kind of reminded me of, I think it was Justice League Unlimited, where, like, they were sitting at, like, the table in the tower and Batman was talking about like he had contingency plans on all of the heroes to be able to take them out if need be. And he thought that was like perfectly normal. That seems like kind of, you know, a twist for this character and what she was doing with like copying the speed of the Flash and all that kind of stuff. And also like how unhinged she becomes, how much more unhinged she becomes as, like, the story progresses, especially, like, when Iris, like, finally, like, calls her out and she's, like, the jig is up, you know, like, we were discussing with her just slowly, like, revealing all of her, like, even when she's, like, let's get nuts, like, her eyes start, like, going wild and it's, like, even those little things where she's, you know, slowly letting the crazy out is great. Loved her taunting Barry, And in the end, when she just kind of loses it, I think that Javicia did just an awesome job. And it was really, really cool to see that all unravel. And now that she's like completely unhinged, because by the end, she's like super crazy. I think it'll be really cool. Hopefully we'll have like a really nice climax to the story in next week's episode and finish that one off. Other stuff, baby Jenna, finally getting to see her after 84 years.
She does exist.
She does exist. They did have that baby. Was interesting. I enjoyed seeing Hartley and Goldface, especially because they had some like really good one-liners. Like Goldface is like, "So this is the brain trust that lost to Flash." I'm like, "Yep, that's them." And like Hartley being really smug about his bright idea to like find Barry through his powers, and then it not working, and Goldface being like, "Well, duh, they put metacuffs on him," and then like him being a little bit deflated. I think they bring like a good sarcastic dynamic. It kind of makes you wish that Cisco was still here, because that would have been, you know, someone else to like bounce off Hartley's sass with. Mark doing the right thing, I guess. You know, good for him.
2 points to Mark.
2 points for you, Mark.
4 for you, Mark Coco.
So what did not spark joy?
Well, I guess just to go back to, like, why? Why did the Josiel storyline exist, other than to show me baby Jenna, finally? Why can't Cecile read her husband's mind or emotions to know that he is upset or concerned about the safety of their child and his own failings as a parent previously? Like, that should not take a rocket scientist or a telepath.
I mean, Kion would have got it, like, immediately. So, I'm just saying.
Exactly. If Kion, who knows nothing about nothing, is doing better than you, then you are probably not good at your quote-unquote job. So, yeah, that was very, very silly. And now I am just wondering how they are going to phase Joe out, and if they even are, and, like, what was the point of even bringing it up, and he never even talked to Iris about it, so whatever. Once again, he continues to not know he has children. Also, Wally mentioned, but, like, he was like, the way I raised my kids, I was like, you didn't know raising them. What are you talking about? Like, you didn't even know Wally existed. So anyway, that part was just a little bit silly. What else did I not like? I mean, I mostly liked everything. Chilegra are stupid. I want to like, I don't see, like, they are fine, except that they make them do the dumbest things. Like, why are they like, wow, Mark died. That's so crazy. Should we discuss our relationship? It's so weird. Especially because it's what they do every single time. Like, every single time, like, something big happens. They're like, oh, I'm so emotional. We have to kiss right now. Or I'm so emotional. We must do something about it. And then the next, like, scene, they're like, actually, let's not. What if we didn't? And then I'm like, okay, you can do that, like, one time. You can deal with it one time, and then you have to stop. But they've done it, like, 4 times now. So that is not cute of them, and they should stop. Also, where is Ryan? We need to get, you know, the authorities on this. Someone call the FBI. Call, I can't remember what it's called. What does Diggle and Lila do?
Argus?
Yes, thank you. someone bring Ryan back. I'm very concerned about this.
You know, I have a theory about that, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because I feel like when Ryan was, Red Death Ryan was coming up with her story about what happened to her, I feel like there's probably truth in that, because that's the easiest thing to tell. So our Ryan is
like, that's what she did to Ryan.
Near death in the Palisades. And they should go send help immediately.
Yes, someone please get Ryan. Thank you. that is my request. I don't know that I have any other dislikes, really. Other than I feel like the pacing is, like, this episode was good, but it shouldn't have been episode 4, and we should have longer with Red Death. I think that's, like, a waste to have, a 5-episode arc with Red Death and only really have gotten her story in episode 4 of those 5.
Mm.
So, there you go. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if they had spent, I would have liked to see the episode of what happened with her and how she came to our part of the universe or whatever, because I feel like it would have been more interesting than spending a whole episode on other characters.
Keon, we know you mean.
I mean, speaking of Keon, like, I think it's not necessarily a dislike, but I just find it really interesting that they would introduce a whole new character, and like, she's got nothing going on, and this season is very short, and I don't think that they're gonna really like focus on her at all beyond whatever it is that she's doing now. So I just feel like Danielle's just hanging out. Tilegra is starting to get a little bit frustrating because it's just like, I feel like Barbossa from Pirates of the Caribbean is like, just kiss, because that's all they really should be doing. Let no talking, stop thinking, let's just start doing.
Come on, season, what, Seabury?
Because
oh, wait,
I feel season one, yeah. Because like Tati said, it's just drawn out, and I feel like they just keep repeating the same thing. So the sooner they get to be in a relationship, the better it'll be, because then they can actually start exploring other parts of the relationship and not just the will they, won't they part, because there's no tension there. Like, we don't care as viewers in general. We're not that invested in whether they will or won't, because we know they will. And so I feel like they should just speed up the process. With Joe and Cecile, it's like, I thought it was odd that Joe's like, let's just stay in Central City because I want Jenna to look up to you because you're a superhero and she should be whatever she wants. I'm just like, is this the reason that you should stay? Because I feel like it's a waste of a storyline if they do decide to stay, unless he changes his mind next week after Red Death does something, you know, wild. But like, the fact that they've been talking about this for two episodes so far, and this is like the conclusion that we know of, is just underwhelming and unnecessary. And they didn't need to like write off Joe. They could have just like said that he's busy doing something and then just not seen him for several episodes until, you know, Jesse comes back. So I don't know. It was just kind of like whatever. But I am glad that we did see Jenna. If that's the only thing that we got out of it, then it's fine. But like, the idea of Cecile being a superhero is just very cringe to me.
Agreed. And you know, it's like, it's not even like, it's okay, it's part iteration, but also Kramer is the same age bracket as Cecile. Kramer is also a meta. But you don't get the same, you know, I like Kramer and I like her story, and I feel like her story fits someone in her age bracket that has powers and has a job and is balancing all of that, versus what I think is annoying about Cecile's storyline overall that makes her storyline in season 9 particularly not sparking joy and not having anyone care, is that I think if it was that she developed powers when she got pregnant, but she still stayed on the law side, the civilian side, just civilian with meta, because like, it feels like every person with powers in Central City is either a villain or a hero. And I feel like some of them people are just like regular people. I'm pretty sure there are some civilians that maybe their meta power is finding loose change, and they're okay with that. And that's fine. That's completely fine. And I feel like if Cecile was just a person with powers that occasionally helped out Team Flash, but her main role was just being a person, being a lawyer, being in her, you know, civilian world like Joe is with the CCPD, and it just so happened that last season her powers leveled up and now she doesn't know what to do with them, and then this season stuff is happening that are asking her to do more with her powers than she had before, and her being like, I don't know if I should be doing this. I feel like that would have been more compelling. But when she got her powers initially, and I don't know if this is like Danny being like all gung-ho about it, or Eric just being like, you're my prized character possession and you must do all the things. I feel like they tried to make her in the same age bracket as Barry, Iris, and the team. And she has most of her scenes in the Star Labs. She mentioned a law of practice. I'm like, girl, since when? Like, when do you
go practice? I was like, I need to see it because it's been like since season six, since I saw her office.
You know, it's, we're already tired of her. And she's just like, and this is supposed to be like her jumping off point, her getting started point. But she's been starting for seasons now and we're tired of it. So I feel like they kind of wasted her overall character story and telling it in a way that would have made her particular storyline this season more impactful. They just didn't do that. I also thought, you know, Mark is Mark. Like, he did a good thing this episode. And, you know, Barry being like, you deserve a second chance, blah, 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 blah. But I also feel like the Rogues had a point where, because, you know, Barry's mad that they left him. He's like, you know, he's a traitor. Like, he switched sides before when he saw that that side was winning. And now when he saw that we would win, he switched sides again. So
he can't be trusted.
I also thought it was, I guess it's not, it's, I feel like with Keon, she's getting more and more eccentric by the day. And I feel like her little spiel about static electricity and her explanation for that, even like Allegra and Tress were like confused, like, what does this have to do with anything? And then she's like, gets to the point, or when she told Gulf's like, I don't like you. And he's like, okay. What do you want me to do about that? But eccentricity is leading somewhere. But again, I don't know that I care. So, yeah.
I also want to add about Cecile, like, and I think we mentioned her new telekinesis before, but her powers, I don't know what's going on there because none of it makes any more sense to me. She just does everything. And I just can't buy her as the most powerful meta in Central City, you know?
Like, they've been in the middle of an argument and him running out like, I have to help the people in the neighborhood. They need me. I'm like, do they? do they really need you? The power's just out. It's okay. we had so much feedback this time. Thank you, guys. What did our Flash peeps have to say about this episode?
Yes. Let's start with Vivian. I think it's Vivian. All right. Dislikes. Barry still having to rely on those dime store rogues for help. The one time they have Jenna in an episode, they keep banishing her to her wee little bedroom without accompanying her. Also, they jumped right past the developing years to the point where she's actually old enough to walk up those stairs and pour herself to bed. New Cecile was lying when she said she would be up to put that child to bed. Eric using that child to once again pump up tired ass Cecile by referring to her as a superhero. Whatever was the point of Joe's storyline if he decided to stay there because Cecile was able to freeze some broken glass? Jenna was probably in the path of that glass window because she came down to get her neglectful mother so she could be tucked in. I can't with Cecile. that they let Red Death, aka Ryan, take down Iris without Iris even putting up a fight. We all know that it is not how Iris rules. The repeated Chester and Allegro, will they or won't they talk about what is going on between them? How damn old are they supposed to be? Keon popping in again to spread some tranquil words to the rogues, who really didn't want to hear her enlightened bullshit words. Why am I not interested in her at all? Always Cecile and Chilblain will end up on my dislike list. I don't know what the season 9 budget is, but I think they could have done more with less and focused more on Barry and Iris, although I am liking what I have gotten so far, which is more than season 6 to 8 combined.
Oh, I forgot. Tightly told stories would be like them kissing every episode because we got another little kiss this one too.
Yes, so I agree with that. Keep that up. At this point, there are 4 episodes and there have been at least 9 characters they could have worked without or at least given them less screen time. The past 4 episodes could have been told in 3, giving us extra episode of West Island Blissfulness and possibly a pregnant Iris with Barry flipping out and trying to protect her every move. I think this could have been comedy gold.
It's still candy, Vivian.
So much left, potential left. How three episodes instead of four? Hear me out. Red Death could have shown up and her little helpers and had her little helper still collect what she needed in the first episode. Barry and Iris could have still had their scenes, put the story in, but the story is tighter. Episode two, after she has all her parts, then she kidnaps Iris to ensure Barry will work for her, thus eliminating the meta dampeners and Barry once again losing his powers. Barry figures out a way to disrupt the treadmill they built, and Red Death goes off to quietly plot her revenge on how to take over Central City in episode three. Episode three concludes with, of course, the Flash being the victor. Now there are 10 episodes remaining to tell a tight and cohesive story that is not attempting to focus on 9 to 10 characters that are not needed. Likes. Barry and Iris in their loft figuring things out without the whole damn team being there. We are 4 out of 4 with West Island Kisses. The show bringing back a villain from season one. Barry getting angsty because Red Death mentioned Iris. Time not being wasted in Iris figuring out that was not the real Ryan Wilder. Iris being Barry's lightning rod in every timeline, Earth, universe, or whatever. Sucker for true love. Iris always at the ready to shoot somebody. Just give her a reason. Candace Grant and Jimmy Sue's acting in this episode. And although it reminded me of Iron Man, I like the way she called her suit and then put it on. Thank you so much, Vivian. We will post all your feedback to Tumblr. Next is Suara. He says, hello, ladies. Javicia Leslie is amazing as Red Death. She chews up the scenery so well, and her scenes with Candace were incredible. By far the best scenes of the show, though everyone else was fire as well. This was me when she said, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. The Family Guy saying, she said it. Or he said it, but in this case, it's Javicia. Being able to convey so much history about her friendship with Iris was amazing, and her switch into rage at wanting revenge on Barry was so, so good. She definitely went to another universe rather than her own past, which is interesting. Perhaps the way she did it somehow pushed Earth Prime's Ryan out of the universe, and Team Flash will need to get her back. Either way, I'm looking forward to the return of Batwoman and her coming face-to-face with her alternate self. I love that we still have the rogues, including Hartley. This season is actually giving us West Island at the center with its classic Flash aspects, and it is everything. With 3 out of 4 bangers so far, I'm so much more excited for the rest of the season. Don't make me regret saying that, please, Eric. And I gotta say, I actually enjoyed to seal this episode. Baby Jenna exists. I know, I'm shocked.
I think you should question if this is the real Suara, actually.
Has he been replaced? There was actually a real nuanced conversation with Joe, which clearly still isn't resolved with his sad expression while hugging her, by the way. And Dani Nicolette actually gave one of her best performances in the show to date. Seems like focusing on the people the character is actually closest to is a good thing, actually. All the best. Anita says, well, that makes Jenna the biggest cameo of the season. No other special appearance will compare for me, and later I'll explain why. Mask of the Red Death was entertaining more so than it was frustrating. Starting with Iris, I'm loving that Iris was so integral in the story, and that the episode opened with this very intelligent couple putting their heads together to figure stuff out. Cecile was testing me when she questioned Joe about house hunting. Ma'am, did you ever think about your job, your child, your retired husband's back problems, or Meta's who can't afford high-priced lawyers while you were throwing yourself into young folks' Meta street fights? From this show's broken perspective, the only important people are the 30-somethings or younger who suit up and make cool tech. But grown folk could hold it down in other ways if Eric knew how to incorporate them. Exactly. That man needed to sit down with other fantasy shows who had grown folk get things done without trying to be young folk, like Buffy or Grimm or Black Lightning.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the negative speed force something a speedster generates? Why did Barry talk about an avatar of the negative speed force like it exists on its own, all disembodied and sentient like the original? And Red Death
season 8. Because that's where the speed force, the avatars, came in.
Oh, right.
So if you did not see season 8, that's how we got there.
And Red Death Ryan saying he rejected her. I know I'm missing something, and I'll say it's buried under all the fluff and retconning the show's piled on over the years. I don't know who Red Death Ryan thinks she is, but Iris is a one speedster lightning rod, so kick rocks, okay? But stay, Evil Ryan, because you're so very entertaining and spark joy. The second Iris opened that door, I felt uneasy, and my panic only grew with the way Ryan watched her. I was hoping Iris drugged the tea, but was glad when she pulled out a gun. Who trifles with sharpshooting Iris West Allen? Who does that? Ass-kicking, power-hungry Ryan Wilder, that's who. I was twisting my throw blanket in suspense when she unleashed on Iris. Javisi really ate down her down on her scenes, and she had me riveted. It almost offset the violence Iris had to endure, and this in the other timeline. Why do Iris' superpower friends and lovers stay striking her with lightning? We don't like that, Eric. Why did Barry let Bivolo incapacitate him? The suit had... Yes, that's exactly. I have had little sleep this week. The suit had eye shields at one point. Bring those back. At least some contacts with my nanotech to block his mind control, and that gave him brown eyes instead of a distinctive green like a certain CSI. You just know that Central City's brainy women are thirsting over Barry and studies his picture on his wife's Instagram. Why isn't Barry concealing his voice in that suit, and do we have to think of everything? As for Jenna, I want to say that Sweetheart knew way more than what she did. I do not think Jenna came downstairs and was about to say, Daddy, I'm scared. Scared kids run into their parents' arms during storms and blackouts. They don't head straight for exposed windows where the big, nosy, scary red lightning is. And peep that child's meditative calm, because I do not think Cecile controlled the glass on her own. Cecile's straight garbage as a mother for not embracing Jenna reassuringly after what we just saw. Joe get hood. What is Joe, the nanny? Jenna is a perfect bridge between now and when Nora and Bart rise as Central City's heroes. She's the first gestated meta that we know about and could answer questions about how meta pregnancies go, how meta tots experience early childhood, and when the lucky ones get their powers. She's also got the right family name. But whatevs. I won't waste my good imagination on Eric's storylines. We're not likely to see Jenna Horton West develop the season because of Eric's obsession with Cecile.
Oh my god. And
with that, I'll nominate Jenna Esther West as the little lady with gumption of the week. I'm looking forward to hearing what you ladies think. Then we have...
Well, I just want to say I love that theory. I wish that you could waste your brain power on that storyline, because that would be great.
Indeed. And next we have Lilo. Hope that you're all doing well. I'm back from the silent listener side with some thoughts on this week's episode. Joyce, Iris and Ryan being best friends in any timeline warms my heart. Can you imagine how much better the West Allen wedding would have been with Ryan as her maid of honor? The little call back to Armageddon with the my car drives really fast line. Candace and Javicia were electric together. I love that Iris was able to suss out the plot holes in Red Death's story early on. The scene of Javicia calling her Red Death suit onto her body looked cool as fuck. Barry being an idiot and not realizing that's a woman underneath the suit, even when he's right up close to Red Death. What happened to season 4's feminism, girl power? More confirmation that Iris is the Flash's lightning rod in every timeline. The face that Red Death makes when Barry agrees to run on the cosmic treadmill to save Iris.
Love that.
I'm going to use that as my reaction gift from now on. No joys. All things
Keon. Oh, especially for when fanboys start complaining, just like put that in.
Perfect. Love it. No joys. All things Keon, Jaceel, and Telegra. Seriously, what exactly are Cecile's powers? Can she teleport now? The fact that no one in Team Flash bothered to check on Iris when they knew that she was all alone in a citywide blackout. Barry not being able to handle literally any fight without his powers. 9 seasons in, it looks ridiculous when a character like Mark has to be the one to save Barry's ass. Rather than wasting time in the last 2 episodes, I wish they had shown us Red Death's timeline and her whole backstory instead of wasting precious real estate on Keona and the Rogues. Show, not tell. I guess everything will be resolved in a nice little bow by the end of the next episode so that we can move on to the next main villain arc. I have to make peace with the fact that the Flash writers will never stop fumbling the bag with potentially good storylines even in the final season. How I feel about Mark's so-called death. I'm supposed to feel sorry for that bitch. I don't. A wishless delusional thinking. We are all expecting a wild more mention when we get the real Ryan back, but I'm low-key hoping that Sophie, or at least someone from the Bat Team, pops up in Central City. It would be such a lovely little surprise for the fans. And then finally we have...
A good one.
Indeed. Even if it's a video call or something.
I mean, most likely 90% chance it's going to be Luke, but yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Sonia's feedback. She says, this episode of The Flash was great. I like to start seeing West Allen investigating together, and the stuff with alternate universe Ryan was great. Also, oh my God, finally a Jenna sighting. Thank God Chilegra are finally going to have a conversation about the relationship so we can stop having this drama on screen. And from my feedback last week, y'all were wondering why I hate Chilegra so much, since I loved Hamill Fox and Our Knight, and they're also slow burn. And it's because they never felt as forced as Eric is making Chilegra. Sorry, not sorry. What a revelation that Red Death Ryan is from another East. Sorry, another Earth. And that she created versions of tech used by the criminals and made her own speed, too. Iris was so smart catching that Ryan has never been to their place, but somehow knows her way around, and that she didn't remember who killed her mom, and also realizing that Ryan is the one who killed that Earth's Iris and doesn't want to make amends with her Flash. Good for Mark having a change of heart, but does that mean I care about him dying? Not really, but I did like what Keon said about him. Cecile was less annoying this episode, but what will happen to her and Jonah that they won't be moving? Jesse is only a recurring star now, so I guess he'll join Jenna in off-screensville. Excited for the next episode. Thank you so much, everybody. And that's all for feedback.
Hooray! You know what? I will say that one thing
that's the most feedback I've had in a while.
It is, yeah.
See what good episodes do?
You have returned. Javicia is here, and everyone's like, you know what? I actually have something to say now. I was going to say that one thing that this Red Death, especially like with Ryan's connection between her, Iris, and Barry, it also kind of reminded me of season 3 with the Savitar storyline, because that was also like a corrupted version of someone that loves Iris. it low-key feels like they're in both situations that they were like fighting over Iris with Barry, because like Ryan was like, I really wanted you to like me so that when I take you back and we kill your other Barry, that we could still be friends. So yeah, that was fun. Anywho's, lady with gumption of the week. We know that Anita says Jenna.
I mean, Red Death, right? Right. Or Iris, because like they both were firing on all cylinders this episode. I guess Iris for like figuring out that Red Death was not the real Ryan, because she was sitting there alone. She didn't have like any information she could grab. She was just like stuck in a situation. And she figured out relatively quickly that it was not her, and then tried to fight her off.
That's me.
I was going to say Iris for that reason, but also because didn't Red Death get it last week?
She did.
For even less reason. but now it'll even it out, because I think that Iris really stayed on her, you know, toes, and she like met Red Death where she was at. So I'm all for it.
I think I agree with that too. Especially I didn't mention this in my likes, because it basically described like the whole scene of them from start to finish. But one thing that I did like, when she was progressing, like ramping up her interrogation of Ryan, her whole thing about like red teaming and how like, you know, in journalism, it was a nice use of what Iris actually does to drive home the point that she's trying to make of, you know, in journalism, whenever someone's going to take a, before they publish a story, you get a team together and they red team it and try to poke holes in the story and blah, 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 blah. So I liked how she kind of like laid that out. And again, like, you know, she was on her toes immediately, almost immediately from the time that Ryan walked in there until Red Death, like, revealed herself. So I thought that was really nice. No love for Cecile getting her superhero on. Allegra finally figuring out what she wanted. Keon with a lightning fact of the day.
Nah.
Okay.
No.
So,
you know what? Maybe Jenna for drawing such a flattering portrait of her mother. There you go. Honorable mention.
Now that we have exhausted all the choices, it's clear that Iris West Allen is Lady with Gumption of the Week for this week. Tune in next week where we'll have the conclusion of the Red Death storyline. And I think that's going to be the last one before they take a mini break. Because I think March the 22nd.
This year? Interesting.
No, they. I guess they have one more because the 22nd is the first break. That'll be like a repeat of 901. So we'll have an intro to the next book or whatever Eric likes to call them before the break. But anywho, if you want to send us your feedback and be a part of our episodes, our podcast, then you can send us your feedback to ladiesofbegumption@gmail.com. You can follow along with us. We live tweet the show at DCTVGumption on Twitter. Or you can send us asks on Tumblr, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. And we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.